Hey there, welcome back to the Six of Discs. This is Six of Discs, episode 3. Under the auspices of my Six of Tarot series, we have the Six of Swords, which is the flagship show. It's the one-on-one art, spirituality, and healing auspices under such. It is under the auspices of art, spirituality, and healing. Six of Cups, a pleasurable roundtable, zeitgeisty, and evergreen. And of course the Six of Wands is the live show, and that is the active participatory audience interaction show. And then the Six of Discs, of course, this is my solo show, so thank you for tuning in. It is also the part that we'll get over right now, which is the part where you get to have notes and shout-outs and credits read. This is the part for the executive and associative executive producers, those who contribute any amount that is in the amount of over $200. And before we go any further, I want to mention that it is the time of year I would like to express my gratitude to everyone who has donated. A lot of you are under the amounts that get mentioned, and I want to just express my gratitude to you for that. Some of you do it through PayPal directly at occultfan@gmail.com, and some of you are using the Patreon, and I appreciate the Patreon. It's better. You don't even have to use the donate button on occultfan.com. You can just straight up go to the PayPals and hit the occult fan, and I'll see it in my inbox, and you'll get your credit. So thank you. Don't forget, these are credits. You can credit the show if you wish, or you can actually remember that your credits do get stored up for your character in the Value for Value role-playing game. So some of you are getting close, and I'm looking forward to starting that up. And if you want to do an insta character, you just hit 50 and you'll be good to go. So 50 also gets a mention in the second half of the show. But without further ado, this evening we're going to be talking about a panoply of issues that are all centered around the experience that I've had in the past month. It's been a great month for me, but the specific experience that I refer to is the trip to New York, part two, the return, New York, the return. When I went in September, it was very special. I went at the beginning of the month to attend the Metaphysics of Desire workshop done by Langston Kahn and Gordon White. That was in Harlem. And great stay, fun time in the beginning of September. Things took a synchronistic turn, as they do when you're doing high magic in weird places, in lovely places. Like, there's Twin Peaks all over the world, it seems. In fact, I think New York was, anyways, interesting. So we're getting into the show right now, as you can tell. that's the nice thing about this. I can do a built-in intro, built-in mid-tro, just do one file. Brilliant. Am I talking shop during the show? Sure, why not? So what I'm talking about from the past month was the return trip to New York. I have no need or little need to go into many of the details that brought me back there. Suffice to say that we were attending the second day. It was a Saturday in September, and I was trying to get tickets to Tool. Things went left, and then anyways, they went right again, and we ended up getting tickets not in Boston, where we would have gone naturally, since this is where we are, and it's a hop, skip, and a jump to, I think it was the Bank of America Pavilion, but I don't remember right now. It could have been TD Bank. I don't remember. We didn't get tickets there. We ended up going to Brooklyn, so New York brought us back. While we're there in September, we get the tickets. All this stuff is related to Tool and the things in New York. Amazingly, little detail that you need, but the same thing down to my geometrical position in the actual workshop itself with said symbols and archetypes. That, let's go straight to the show. I go to the show, JJ and I go together, my girlfriend and I are heading there, we go with a couple of friends that I've met through her now, and that's Bill and Mike, and I can always blank their names out later if they, but they're cool guys. Bill's a great artist in New Jersey, Mike is Gosh, man, what was my we were talking? It's gonna come back to me. I think he's a teacher, though. I do believe he's a English teacher or something. And Mike, you'll have to forgive me. we'll get to know each other better next time we hang out, and hopefully it won't have to wait till another Tool concert. We had a great time, the four of us. I was trying to plan a few different kinds of magical things to go into this, and as it turned out, it couldn't have gone better. But suffice to say that the geometrical position that I mentioned in the workshop at the Metaphysics of Desire in September, when I got the tickets and brought us back to New York for all these synchronistic things within and without and as above and so below and all around and up and up and up and up, basically I got to sit right in front of what the coup de grace of the entire show was. A rare live appearance by Alex Gray on stage during the encore of the show, which was the most amazing thing to behold. And from where our seats were, because we could get these four together, we were able to be right in front of where Alex was. Alex and I were in a direct line where he came out on stage on the, I guess you would say, on stage left, upper left, stage left. It was perfectly in line with where our seats were, which were all numerologically, like, just ridiculous. Like, the number of the tickets matched the days that we were in New York and everything. So it was just really cool. High strangeness at its best. And we got the most amazing show. They started off, as you know, the new album. For those who listen to this, this will be up your tickled fancy wheelhouse. Has the first track, which they used to open the same tour, right? So they opened with Fear Inoculum. It was a perfect opening. Then they proceeded to play Anima. Holy crap. And then The Pot from 10,000 Days. And it just got really, the whole set list was phenomenal. It couldn't have gone better. In fact, in deconstructing it, it inspired me to want to talk about this. In fact, I just flipped open to the 18th. That's when we went to New York. Anyways, yada yada. The show was on the 19th, and yep. So here we have back in Scorpio 3 when the show was. Here's my Mercury notes here. Yeah, I share a song every day on the opening of the morning. And I had shared Merkaba this day because that's what I wanted to see. And they actually ended up playing Merkaba. They played an outtake of it. They played a segment. I was like, oh, they're playing Merkaba. But then they went into another song. I was like, wait, what? So, in fact, they went into Parable and Parabola after that. Which was, like, huge to me, because the thing that I discovered after the fact, which inspired me to do this, and first I'll read to you the track listing. This was Fear Inoculum, Anima, that's A-E, and then the N-E-M-A, The Pot. Then they played an excerpt of Merkaba, which thrilled me to no end, because that's actually the song I listened to heading to New York, too. Lots of salival sinks, going back to the first trip to New York in September, and now in November. And mind you, now I'm just realizing, I'm like, oh, of course it is. 9/11, of course it is. Why didn't I notice that till now? Furthermore, they played the first track off of each of their albums in question. As far as I can gather, you would think I remember this. But let me just check out something here now. I'm not buying time while you're listening to me, folks. That's not what I'm doing. I love you. You're great. Apparently that's a thing. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, anyways. So they played Part of Me, which is the third track off of Opiate. Otherwise, they were playing largely the first tracks off of most of their songs, which I noticed they used the first track off of Holy Gift, which is Parable and Parabola. Off of their other albums. They played all the first songs off of their albums that were since their mainstreamity, which, you know, you could tell they were choosing only one song off of either Opiate or Undertow, and they chose Swamp Song and or Intolerance. which I believe is the first song off of Undertow, if I'm doing that right. Yeah, I believe it is. Yep. So anyways, they were doing, like, largely the first track off. They did first tracks off of all their albums. They also did Descending and some other tours, I noticed. But the main thing, they had a main lineup going on. And so anyways, back to it. So Fear Inoculum, Anima, The Pot, Merkaba, Parable, Parabola, Pneuma, Schism, Jambaya, Vicarious, Part of Me, 46 and 2, Chocolate Chip Trip, Invincible. Then they played Ions. Then they did Stinkfist. Oh, you know what? They might have done Ions before Chocolate Chip Trip. So that would have been 46 and 2, then Ions, then Chocolate Chip Trip. But anyway, some iteration of that, and I'll figure it out later. And then they played Stinkfist for the final song. Of course, the first track off Anima, the first track where they really started working with Alex Gray. So it seems symbolic in that way, too, for them to have him on stage during that track. It was just very magical, and he went on and did an art piece, it appeared to me. I don't think he was writing. He must have been doing some art. He was rocking out on stage. It was amazing right in front of me. And, yeah, there's other stuff, but that's suffice to say, just incredible stuff, man. Incredible stuff, and it's going to get us into what we're really talking about tonight, because there's a philosophy that Alex is going into this album with and that the entire album seems to be with. And, well, it's true, you could have other artists, I suppose. A good observation was made on YouTube. I will give the shout out, because you can go and watch this video. I'd encourage it if you're listening to my take here of this. Alex Gray is talking about The Great Turn, which is a philosophical experience that you can live praxis wise and I'm gonna have to say that, like, the YouTuber is Cosmic Dawn. Cosmic Dawn has 1.74 thousand subscribers, so go check them out and subscribe over there. You can watch the video. It is Alex Gray, The Art of Tool, The Great Turn, and the comment in which I am referencing is someone saying, I'll just leave it anonymous. Imagine the visual aspect of a Tool show without the artwork and influence of Alex Gray. It's amazing what happens when the music and artwork work so well together. I say cheers, mate. Yeah, he says, Cosmic Dawn says, that's the, I'll use their name because the video, that's their video. I'm sure other artists could conjure up something. Well, well met, sir. Robert Venosa, for instance, but Tool, excuse me, Alex and Tool have a synchronistic relationship. One for the ages, and very special. We should all try and enjoy it while it's here. And I gotta say, man, right on. Absolutely. And the video is 4 minutes and 32 seconds. Hee hee. So yeah, that's plenty cool. This was posted on November 8th, or premiered November 8th, and he's talking about the new artwork for Fear Inoculum. So that was only a few weeks ago, and I'm gonna say that's really cool, and you guys should check that out. But the basic idea of The Great Turn is this figure that's, you know, like the two wolves in us, the black wolf and the white wolf, always at war. And it's The Great Turn. It's showing a dark and negative perspective. If we live in the dark and negative downward spiral manner, then we will have that manifesting. The Black Lodge will reign supreme. Otherwise, we have the White Lodge will reign supreme, because we will have those people in this world living in a praxis of spirituality that is in alignment with the greater natural spiritual essence of this world. Ley lines, dragon lines, all jazz, and as above, so below, in our own bodies, our own electrical currents will be balanced. Well, we'll be eating healthier and minerally balanced and realizing, as Michael Tessarian is right to point out, I think, in extreme measure, but that we all have the capability of producing alembically the minerals within our own bodies. I think Adam Jones. Oh, that's weird. Alex Gray, Adam Jones, and people say that Bill Hicks is, oh, that's weird. Whatever, who cares? Speaking of alembic, weird alchemy, baby. That's some Black Star. So anywho, I'll tell you what now. Oh, I get it. All right, cute, clever, done. Moving forward. So the idea is that Alex is like the perfect art, and it's synchronistic, and I completely agree with Cosmic Dawn's take, and that's why I share that. I think that it's very important to keep in mind that their relationship is one that is prima facie fati, you know, it's fated. It feels like it to me. And I think that there are some things in our world that are part fate and part free will. And you got to lean into the free will where you need to. In other parts, just let it ride. You know, got to know when to hold them and when the Tao says to go and when the Tao says to stop. You know, when's the Barbalith saying stop and go? So time to get into time the right way. And, you know, the White Queen from Alice in Wonderland has a lesson, I'm sure. That being said, we return to our normally scheduled programming with this message that it's totally true that Alex is a special artist, but the Adam Jones material too, the guitar work too, something about it, very Egyptian, very mystical. I was wondering about the Scriabin take on music and the color tone theory and what he's doing with the seven now, especially because that's thing that they're all working with Danny through his, you know, goes all the way back to his workings through Crowley and Grant and Thelema, and he has all of the different interests that, you know, I share similar paths with. And same, I'm sure that his is a brain I would love to pick and go UFO hunting with. That'd be rad. Also, making some jammage would be totally rad. And something Alex said during the Great Turn about living the best life possible, live your best life. Like, we can either live in that polarized figure damaging us and pulling us down, or we can choose at any moment to mitigate the damage. And, you know, you can't undo what's been done necessarily. And, you know, you got to be careful of that because that's true. You know, it's a live in a way that you don't need to have that, right? Upward spiraling requires less cleanup. And that being said, it's important for us to live the best life possible that we can live within our, you know, capabilities and means, and also our desires. You gotta realize that it's up to you. You're the key. We're all keys, and I wanna know more of you. I wanna know more about your keys. I wanna see what you bring to the table. I want you to do what Alex is saying too. This is the reason that I feel so synchronistically part of the conversation that I can see happening, unfolding all around and through us, is because I am radically one of those people here to bring that change to this earth on this plane. That is paradigmatically my exemplar of my archetype, right? That is why I am here. A 22 is the master builder on the material level, where the 11 is the master builder on the spiritual, as Tessarian notes. Again, I'm bringing some Tessarian to the... I want to get to know these time gnosis people better and the 10 terrains people better too. Very interesting stuff. These are all important different ways of looking at things, the different ways that people have. Miguel is talking about... That's Miguel Connor of Aeon Byte. Is talking about writing your own gospel and living your own myth. And my myth, my best life possible, is being an author of a sacred text that is a consciousness elevation tool, inspired by a consciousness elevation tool of a different medium, in the same medium of art, but a different medium that is of music. And that is through the occult alchemy aspect of a particular rock album. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that there is a sacred text found hidden in a hidden rock album. Okay? How's that turn your key, huh? How does that tickle your fancy? And it actually is a sacred text that is used at a chapel of sacred mirrors, a sacred art chapel utilized for the purpose of consciousness evolution. Living your best life possible is having these huge responsibilities in front of you and stepping up to the plate and with humbleness and with gratitude and with zeal. That means to persist, Calvin Coolidge style, to keep going, to spiral out into some place that no one's been before. I have so many wonderful people around me that are teaching me so many wonderful lessons, and I'm very grateful for that. I'd like to return to the theme of gratitude for a moment. When this is the time that so many eat the animals and engage in the soulless sacrifice, right? I was laughing because someone called Thanksgiving, that's eaten vegetarian-wise, a soulless Thanksgiving. And I totally understood what I'm saying. And I'm like, dude, we have the same idea, but like, I believe you're on the opposite end of the spectrum in this one particular equation, good sir, that it is soulless to partake in the grand harvest and the symbolism of the non-pardoned birds. Oh, citizen, this one citizen's pardoned, feast cannibals on the flesh of the... Oh, you could read it that way, and I happen to read it that way once in a while. You know, take it or leave it. I've left it before. I was a vegetarian for years, so I have left it physically speaking. My karma is that of the carnivore right now. I do enjoy... oh my god, my favorite meal is probably prime rib and mashed potatoes. I gotta say that right here. Oi, yeah, so good it is. So good. Anyways, yeah, steak and potatoes gets me every time, honestly. It really is, like, all, you know, like, that's great, all your high metaphysic and wanting to elevate consciousness and, like, write a rock star holy book, but, like, you still eat meat and potatoes. Chop wood, eat meat and potatoes, write the holy gift. Yes, I do. It's a good thing. It's an exciting thing, too. And thank you for listening to this podcast, by the way. This is in its infancy as we are still building our second part of life in this other radical turn from another Saturn angle, angular Saturnian. So, yeah, speaking of which, you know, we're going to fill a bit of your time up now with the thought about time. We're going to turn in the conversation for a bit to the notion that Jupiter, blessed Jupiter, and praise also be to Saturn. This is Saturn's day, so especially I'm recording this on a Saturday, so praise be to Saturn, Lord Saturn. But, of course, I am a son of Jupiter. That is to be true. I actually just turned to be 722. From 6:41 in my time zone, it is Saturn time, so it is Saturn's hour and Saturn's day. In fact, you'll get to hear me now light some incense and give it a quick honoring. I was going to light some musk incense, but you know what? That's it's a little bit out, so go for the patchouli. Anyways, so in the meanwhile, the idea that Jupiter is now leaving its exaltation, I believe it is, in Sag, where a lot of you, I hope, were able to pick up the favor of Jupiter by working with him during this time, or beginning working with him, or increasing your work with him. This was a very good period to do that. The next time will be in a few years. Don't despair. It'll be in like 2022 or something, I think. For, you know, whatever, astro nerds fly all over that. I get it. Gotta say, though, it's like probably a couple of years down the line. For now, it's going to go into Capricorn, which I would praise be unto Saturn. Saturn, enjoy this, and thank you. Your limitations are welcome, for they help me work. Praise be unto you, Saturn. Praise be unto you, Saturn. All right, that's how you do it, or that's how I do it. You can do it better, do it yourself. But also, if you don't do it, don't do it. But yeah, it's a good thing to do. And the reason, for those of you who are magically operative, no, you're operant, praxis-based, you're like, hey, that was cool. Yeah, right on, man. Respect. You probably, like, did something yourself and honored Saturn if you were right on the ball there, if you were in the ring, so to speak. So, and if you're not, you're like, what is this witchcraft? And I'm like, why are you listening to a show that's named after a tarot card? Okay. So back to the idea that Jupiter's moving from where it really likes to be, he likes to be, in Capricorn, in Sagittarius, into Capricorn, which is where he is in his detriment, it is said. However, there's several other aspects in astrology that mitigate lots of factors, and it's way more complicated than one quick brush. Just to say that, like, oh, Tuesday's coming. Did you bring your coat? It was basically the same logic, actually. So, anyways... Do you want to go to, do you want to go see a movie? Is that what it is? Do you want to go? Anyways, for those of you who get that, gold star for Robot Boy. So, Jupiter is moving into Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn. And a quick thing for people getting into astrology, super easy. Remember that looking at the wheel, it spreads out from the highest point of the sun, which is useful in remembering what we're about to talk about. Highest point of the sun is Cancer. Now, the really big thing to remember is that there's 7 planets and 12 zodiac. And the way it's split out, each zodiac is ruled by a planet that gets 2 different ones to cover the fact that there's more zodiac, right? So there's 7 planets. Some of those got to go to the other ones. The sun and the moon are the only of the 7 classical planets because the sun and the moon is a planet that do not do that. Of course, the sun rules Leo. The moon rules Cancer. Now, spreading out, going left from Cancer in the wheel, you would get Gemini. Going right from, well, any regular-shaped wheel, I guess, if you're going the common direction, you go to Virgo, and Virgo and Gemini are both Mercury, yeah? And you go to Libra, and you go to Taurus, it's going to be Venus. Seeing a pattern because you're moving up from the androgynous into the solid female, into the solid male, into the solid exuberant male, into the solid stern male. So you see the Greek plays at work here. And, of course, from Saturn all the way back around. So just to explain that, that's going to be Mercury, Venus, and Libra, and Taurus. And then you're going to get Aries and Scorpio. There's a Mars. Mars goes from Jupiter next in Sagittarius and Pisces. That's why I was saying Sagittarius and Pisces are where Jupiter is the best for the energy getting free rein to do what it wants to do unmitigated. When it goes into a Saturn-ruled place like Aquarius and Capricorn, which are both together, the forest rings from the opposite side of where the sun and the moon are, right? So Cancer and Capricorn, the 69 and 76, opposite by 7, 69, 76, 69 plus 7 is 76, so you got this whole thing with sevens going on again. There's a big mystery between the Cancer, the Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn. I like to point out the black star of David Bowie, speaking of Bill Hicks, and such. So you can check into that. But anyway, so basically Jupiter in all of our charts is about to start having a bit more of an interesting time in the sky in general, how it works, or however you're going to say, in the astrolabe, I suppose. So anyways, yeah, these are interesting times for yours truly. My 10th house is Sag, being a Pisces rising. So 10th house, for those of you, it's, of course, House of Fame. So this is all lit up right now. My midheaven is very... Anyway, so that's enough about me. But I do not mind Capricorn entering into a Saturn-ruled place because my... Jupiter entering into Capricorn, which is a Saturn-ruled place because of personal reasons. But it's a beneficial thing in general. Ish. So, anyways... This is the part in the show where we take a break and call it the midtro, and this is the part of the show where those who have donated under the $200 mark, but above a $50 mark, anything under $50 gets kept anonymous for the reasons of the people who donate, and this is the part where we read those. We are also at the part of the show where I will give a second round of reminders that... This is the time of year where the show gets to a refreshing point. So what will happen is at the end of 2019, everything from the shows, this will all be Series 1. Next, you'll start seeing Series 2 and so Episode 1. So, of course, Six of Swords, that'll be there. And this is going to be an opportunity for all of the shows to balance out. You'll start to see that Season 2 will have 1, 2, and 3, and 4, so you'll see how that'll all work in the meanwhile. But as I said, this is a growing show. We jumped off the cliff and are building wings as we go and grow, and I get the feeling that even as the show starts to soar higher and higher, that it will still be building bigger and better wings. So... Cheers to the show and cheers to you, and thank you for listening. And without further ado, we're going to get back into the rest of the show. And usually, depending on where I'm at and what I'm doing with this, the more we prepare, the longer the show will go, give or take. But right now, these are solo shows that I have done with the preparation that I have felt was available, and there you go. So I wanted to talk about the tool show. I said, what am I going to base this around? I said to JJ, so it's JJ to you, trust me. Just call her JJ. Say, what am I going to do the show on? She says, well, good to thinking about it. And I think about it, yeah. The tool show, she's like, yeah, that's a great idea. That's exactly it. And I was like, yeah, see? So, good foundation for what's been happening in the recent past month of my life or so, and using it as a great fractal to spin back out and then back in again. Other cool events have been going on, but one of them was the No Agenda meetup that we did in Boston. That was amazing. I just want to say how fun and grateful how fun that was, and how grateful I am to everyone who came out to that. For anyone who happens to be listening to this, just give a quick shout out to anyone who was there. You guys, that was so much fun. Looking forward to it again. Later on, we'll be figuring out what we can do, but there should be another event posted by even the end of this evening, if all goes well. We'll have that tucked over and squared away and all polished up and ready to go, nice and fresh for us. So it's here's to going that going well as well. So give a shout out to that. Talked about Capricorn coming on. Yeah, that's interesting. I'll just say Jupiter is in Capricorn for me. It's a good place for people who like to expand particular structures, and the kind of structure I'm about isn't, you know, it's a good time to talk about myself. One of my favorite men is Joseph Warren, brother Joseph Warren, brother most worshipful Dr. Joseph Warren. And his grandson was an anarchist, and I found that interesting because, you know, here's a, you know, grandfather, he's a Mason, you know, prominent doctor, historical figure, would have been president if he didn't sacrifice himself, basically, at the Battle of Bunker Hill in Boston. And, he has a grandson in history. Very Thoreauian, I suppose, or something. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be fair to compare the two, but something along the Emersonian lines, perhaps. I don't know. Hardly Dickensian. What? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. So, he was an anarchist, and he was definitely someone whose philosophies, that my own philosophies, as they've grown and changed and warped and waned and transmutated into entirely new things, first and then secondly and then three times again. So from where I stand now, I've never been more comfortable with philosophically where I'm at. It's important for me to retain, you know, what I remember from my purest, you know, human understanding of self, as well as my purest spiritual memories and the occult, Fortean, poltergeistic, and other natural phenomenon that I've experienced, as well as to bring it all together with the modern teachings that I have begun to undertake and unfold and experience growing upwards with, as well as my own personal artistic creative process, which means that as I work three times harder than ever before, I'm creating things that I have never even expected myself to create, including this show. And it's very exciting to do this. And it's releasing things that I've needed to release. And I've fully begun to embrace in praxis what Miguel talks about with that in the Gospel of Thomas, which was in you, which is in you. If you bring it out, it will save you. And if you do not bring that which is within you out, it will destroy you. And I completely, wholeheartedly, and understand that, agreeingly understand that. Now, I'm not saying I agreeably, or maybe I do agreeably agree. But the point is that I was practicing vocals earlier, and I touched a place both technically, emotionally, and spiritually, which I felt was quote-unquote my voice. Now, it needs a lot of work. It needs a lot of anvil hammering and repetition and accuracy and that, this, the other thing. Lots of things to do with the art that includes the spiritual, the technical, as well as the experiential. So basically, what I would say is that when I look at what we're going through as a society, to bring it back around to the Great Turn and to what I'm creating right now and to these phenomena that seem to reach throughout my entire life, as I was beginning to touch upon earlier a moment ago. If we use that which is in us collectively, each of us has a different role here to play that's exciting and that is unique and contributory if we allow it to. I'm not naive. I believe there are maybe adversarials out there who are purely out there for the ticks and leeches. You know what I mean? Baby. They can't get their fear inoculum. They're living in the permanent downward spiral state and they're trying to bring us with them. And even as above, so below, that could be you or me if we let it. You know what I mean? I could let my shit go. I could choose to start drinking again and becoming whatever I was heading towards before I pulled the brakes and said, all right, buddy, it's okay to be temperate, but y'all got some Libran scales. You need to adjust first. And then Grand Architect sees it that now there's, you know, other things coming and other things coming and other things. You know, just take care of it. You know, get the cart and the horse in the right order. And suddenly, you know, you're like having a whole new perspective on everything, literally people, places, things, who you are, what you mean, and what you can bring to the table. If you get out of your own way, it's an amazing thing. And so this brings me back again to like some of the stuff that I grew up with. I cannot forget my philosophical roots, such as Taoism, for example. Taoism was pretty much one of the biggest things. Before that, white magic was the thing I was into when I was a kid. Dungeons and Dragons and white magic books. That was about 12 years old. Didn't know how to play the game. I just was fascinated with the characters, the wizards, the orcs, and things like that. I had the pieces and the battlefields and like different sets people would use for the board game and stuff like that. I was fascinated by that. The Hobbit, Narnia, The Lord of the Rings. You know, what else is there? Gargoyles when I was a kid, but that's kind of branching out now a little bit. But so the point is that I was very interested in these things philosophically. The mythical, you know, my mother's a Chaucerian scholar, medieval scholar. My father's a pastor, and he was in another life worked for Bose, so in Japan, both jobs. Brother, dad, my father's a brother. So anyways, I love my dad. He's a good guy, you know. And so anywho, long story short, I come from a lot of different backgrounds, and it's important to remember that all of them seem to have an underlying thread that ultimately you got to orientate yourself. And I love how orienting is such a big thing in magic and in consciousness. You got to know which way you're going, you know. Otherwise, a Cheshire Cat will tell you the truth. And remember, people, only quote Alice in Wonderland if you're going to quote it appropriately. That's not using these drudgery, like a vault, malevolent, archonic movies made by, God bless him, Tim Burton. Do not quote Alice in Wonderland to me from a film, not even from, maybe from Disney. I'll let you get away with the 1951 Disney Alice in Wonderland if you want to, but you better make sure that you're not telling me that it's a quote from the book, which is 1860s masterpiece. I believe 1865. I keep doing with that, but then it could be 1861 now that I'm saying this. Leak of vault, eh? I'm telling you, I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you. All right? Yes. The Great Turn. So the upward spiral, this pharaohic, like, third eye, my lodge in masonry is Orient Lodge, and our symbol, you can see this right on the website, it's a beautiful symbol, got this beautiful pin with it that I love to wear, has the Eye of Horus on it. So all of these connections, and, like, I'm writing this holy gift book, and my name literally means the holy gift. You want me to break that down for you again? I'll do it. All right, Nathan is the gift. Pure and simple, Nathanael in Hebrew is the I-E-L adds the of God, right? It's the suffix of God. So the gift of God is Nathanael. And I-E-L being the E-E-L or I-E-L, gematria, switching the vowels is not even, it's right next door. I-E-N-E right next door. It's not like an A and I switch. It's the E and I right there. Whoop. So E-E-L or Nathanael, Nathan Lee. So Nathan Lee. These eels, electric, electricity, eels, the holy energy is the holy fire of the Ark of the Covenant. You can see that in the busts up the nasty little Nazis pretty good. electrocutes them in the end of, what is that, Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's what I'm saying. That's a whole, that's talking about the kind of, like, I don't know if it's like some kind of quantum fusion or some crap, like, you know, like cold energy or cold fusion or whatever it is. I don't know, like some kind of like plasmic, but it's like what you call holy energy in the Final Fantasy game. Like, activate the Guardian Force Alexander in Final Fantasy IX. It blows everything up with this, like, pulsar white light. It's attacking them with what I believe in the metaphysics we would understand to be some kind of, like, high vibration or some kind of, like... It's holy ethereal energy. So, holy energy. Eel. Electric-ish. Right? It's like a weird electric... So, I mean, you take it or leave it. I don't care what you do with this. I know what I'm... I know what my myth is. I'm writing my myth, and this is it. This is real. I mean, if you're written into existence like I am, certainly this is certainly almost as crazy as your own life. Okay? This is true. This is true. This is, we're all mad here. No, is that from the actual Alice? All right. That's another question. Anyways, doesn't matter. Does it? I don't know. None of this matters. Does it? No, you know what? Don't be like Donnie getting out of your element and then asking this question to me, because the nihilists always suck. Just literally, they are the abyss, and the abyss is afraid of Saturn. Don't forget that. All right, so we're wrapping up the show pretty soon, because we're going to get back around and turn back around to another great spiral, another great turn, another upward spiral, another turn on the spiral, the 13th step. You go around 12. What are you going to do again? You're going to keep doing that for the rest of your life? I loved how Miguel talked about AA, and then he says, and other secret societies. Didn't say other, but like, I loved it. Just, you got to listen to it and be like, oh, this is interesting why he juxtaposes the two, because he's a very intelligent, thoughtful, and caring man. And I cannot tell you, I guess I bring him up this much because when I think about people who I really respect, when I think about people who inspire me in this field, when I think about people who I really want to emulate, or at least, when I say emulate, you got to understand, I don't really emulate anyone. You got to understand, I just kind of throw myself at this. But when I think about who I appreciate, three names immediately come to mind. If you haven't guessed them, you're silly. Miguel Connor, John C. Dvorak, and Adam Curry. My three big podcast influences, I would say. So, that being said, I would have to go and get back around to the point. What was I getting to here? Something about Taoism, something about sexual magic and Tai Chi, and how I really need to work better on it. Anyways, so, yeah, I am also at a very exciting stage in my creative development and bringing it all back around, because even with my show right here, this is kind of exciting to do this. I'm wondering what I'll think if I, you know, go back and listen to this someday. I try to make these worthwhile within my will and means here, because ultimately there's just so much to do with your life. There's only so many minutes and so many days that I hope that what I'm doing is actually artistically valuable and useful, and that these can become part of a series that will be listened to. I'm not going to do this forever. I'm going to do this as long as I want to, and as long as the value-for-value role-playing game plays out successfully, and once I feel like we're at a point when that can, you know, try to kill everyone on the board or something, and be like, all right, I'm done with the show. No, I would never do that. Go back and listen to that one, that first series of six of discs. Yeah. Anyways, so Alex is talking about how we can turn, you know, just turn it around, man. Just come on. It'd be great if you can make a turn. Just a little bit. All of us just, you know, I mean, there's plenty of difficult things out there. And I've done plenty of shitty things in my past. And I really have made an ass of myself at times. Like, I'll be the first to tell you. I think there's something about my Libra that's just like, all right, fuck it. I'm trying to get something done here. Look, I messed up. I'm not going to be able to change that. I'm sorry. Can you get over it? No. Do you believe so much that you're okay? I have so much going on in my life that all I can do is open more and more doors and more windows going forward that are of the service to the greatest consciousness. I like that lesson that we learned from The Tempest, because I think that that song's about many, many things, and I think it's also talking about how we're about to head towards some really difficult times. And I don't doom speak, you know what I mean? Just because I might summon Doom Train doesn't mean that I'm summoning it for the reasons that you think it is. Ostensibly speaking, what I'm saying is that just because, you know, people have And let's tie back the philosophy of anarchy into this, because, you know, you should know that we're all, this is chaos. Everything can be seen as chaos in a contained Sagittarian sphere or something like that, as far as I understand it. And I'm not telling you, this is just the best way I can, you know, I think there's something here. So the point is that there's still ordered chaos, but there's, you know, there's room for free will, and things that seem destined can change, like, you know, some things, no, not really, I don't know. There's still time to change the road you're on, I think is what I'm saying. So if you feel like you're destined for something that's negative or good, you know, the good things will happen if you just make them happen, and the negative things won't happen if you don't. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like you're here for a purpose and you have a dream and a goal, I'm saying don't feel like it's not going to happen because, you know, just because, like, I'm saying that something doesn't always have to not happen. If you have a dream or a goal, I bet you're going to do it. If you're listening to the show, I think you'll do it. I think you'll do it. I think you will. What does that mean? I don't know. Just abstract voice in space and time, or is there some kind of synchronistic connection, pulsar wave to my words in that moment that are always there in the geometry for you to access and know that it's true that you listen to this, and you know what? Upward spiral it. You'll have those energies. You'll have those spirit guides with you. You will. You'll make it. And if you want to get past an addiction, you're going to get over a downward spiral, God bless you. Do that. And if you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself no matter what you do, if you're very temperate or abstinent, or if your jam is to just Dionysus the Is, then do that too. You know what I mean? You got to find what works for you. But I would ask that everyone who's listening to this understand that despite the ticks and leeches with Tico Wise, we need to work together. And no matter what I've done in the past, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is me upward spiraling. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm free from mistakes. I guarantee you guys that I'm as prone to, and I'm, you know, very spiritual as well. I'll tell you that, you know, it's very in touch with my emotions and other people's emotions, even if they're gonna not tell you the truth about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, laser vision, my loves, laser vision. And it's like, I guess I was starting to say too, that later on, you know, people that I used to think one thing and this or the other, you start to evolve and see that, like, if you understand yourself honestly and truly and purely, you're going to start to understand better what other people are going through. And don't forget that you can cast a narrative and that you might be spinning off the thing a little, you know. And sometimes you just know. The knowing. Know what I mean? So, I mean, there's all sorts of levels to things. And ultimately, I would ask that if you're listening to this, that you upward spiral. That you remember that it's going to get shitty at times. It's going to hurt. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to do those things that you're like, oh, man, I did that again. It's all right. It's all right. Just start, flip it back. You get in your body. Start to realize that you're in control of your faculties. You're created by the same word, the same breath, the same love that I am created by. You are created by the same source. And it's like always going to be okay. All right? Evil only wins when good stops working at it. And I don't know. It makes me feel so like, I feel like embarrassed for people who deny that there are these polarities that are adversarial and cooperative, or good and evil, or so-called this, that, the other thing. It's not so much that it's good and evil, besides the opposite of perspectives and desires of accomplishments of desires. But at the same time, there are certain accomplishments of desires and patterns that are, I would say, more keen toward the green, meaning permaculture or towards sustainability or abundance mindsets. And I mean, if you can't come to terms with, like, if you think it's like, oh, that old thing, like someone talking about good or evil, like, I'm just like, you must teach me how wise you are and show me the ways of the ascended masters, oh internet person. You know what I mean? Like, I think that is like, I think it's like a finkish thing to do, to say that there's no good or evil like that. I think it's a cheap cop-out. And I think it's also a cheap cop-out to not question it either. So, I mean, like, where do I stand on it? It's complicated, and I don't know. I just feel like if we're going to look at it like a way I can understand, there's good, there's evil, and there's neutral. You know what I mean? I like the Dungeons & Dragons way. It fits the map. The map's not the territory, but Jesus, doesn't it seem to work out that way? Yeah, a lot of people, I guess, describe themselves, like, again, I'll kind of riff on what I heard Miguel say recently on the when he interviewed the Cosmic Keys cats. It just sounds good. Cats, respect, you know. It's I believe Scarlett and Dan. There you go. The cats on the Cosmic Keys. Sounds cool to me, baby. And he says that I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a lover, I'm a... Oh, wait, that's Melissa Etheridge. Hold on, back to Miguel. I'm a Christian, I'm a Gnostic. So he rattles these things off, and I'm like, see, I understand this, and I love how he's, like, so... And it's like, that's... It's easy for, you know, us to forget that you can... Like, Miguel's so valuable for that reason. He's been through so much. He's like a... He's a guardian, man. He's a fucking sentinel. He's a protector, in a way. We need him. Support him. Wait, this is my show, I'm telling you that? Fucking go support Miguel, man. That's, tell you what, when my show starts getting as valuable as it should, it will start generating even more. Good right now, but, you know, could be more. And if you want to do that, this is a bonus donation segment. Just go ahead, please. Just, even if you think it's like, you know, buy me a coffee a month. I appreciate that. If you like my show, coffee a month, coffee a show, whatever you want to do. I also think you could, send notes too. Just say if you like the show, thank you. Send like a coffee note and say thank you, and get something like a joke in there or something you want read on the show. I could do that. It's fun. You know how it goes. So anyways, that being said, occultfan@paypal.com. Yeah, at Gmail, at PayPal. And so bring it back around, so to wind down the show a bit, because we got to go over to plan a certain event right now after this. The GF and I. She is magnificent. Man, I feel like I have a lot of things that I brought up on this show that are really good that I will want to rediscover at certain points later down the line. But to bring it kind of full circle, I guess, and then plus, because, you know, again, I was just starting to say what Miguel was saying, and I said, like, Miguel's so great, and I forgot what he was saying. But yeah, he was, oh no, I said it was about how I can identify, I'm a quarter Jewish as far as, you know, people are concerned. It's like, you know, Harrison Ford, not too shabby. That's great. You know, I meet some people that are Jewish or of the Jewish faith. You gotta understand, like, it gets so complicated. Immediately, you talk about Jews, this, that, the other. Yeah, forget the fuck over yourselves, everyone. Okay? All right? Hold on. I mean, you got the whole thing with it. Is there, like, the Ashkenazi, the Khazars? This whole thing about Israel with the Khazars? Is that a real thing? I don't know. There's the Sephardics and the Ashkenazis and beautiful. I think, my better half may be a letter, but she's a certain, and I'm a certain, and it's not the same type, so it's two different types of Judaism, and it's all this other stuff, and then, of course, to the Hasids, what is this? You're not a Jew? What is this? You know, I'm saying, you could say that to anyone who's secular, you know what I mean? So, but as it were, like, I meet people who are of the Jewish persuasion, be it culturally or faith, usually tends to overlap that way. It's funny how that works. And they say, oh, yeah. Anyway, so I have a deep resonance with the Jewish faith, the Jewish culture, the Jewish people. I love them. I'm not going to talk about any countries. I'm going to talk about, I love these certain types of people. I just love them. I identify with them. I support them in their plight. Again, not talking about countries. I support my town, my neighborhood, my town, my state, my country first. You know what I'm saying? All right? This is how it is. This is how it is. No problem helping other people, but the whole point about, again, stability is that you help yourself internally so that you're able to not spiral down and drag others down, but so you can become a beacon and at least waft on the top of the clouds like the endless river, like, and be able to gondola your own, you know, steer your own gondola above the clouds, you know what I mean? At least be able to do that. And again, you can undo what people think of negative faith. Some people even say that black magic really isn't real, and that it's all a twist of a psychotic fantasy, and that the only real magic you can actually do is building magic. And that you see that people who get into these things who think that it's real have a predisposition to thinking that it's real and it's a malady. I don't know. It's an interesting way. And there's other people who say you do this, and it, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would like to think I live in a way that people would only want to do good things for me anyways. Like, I would like to say that, you know, ultimately, my service is, you know, to those who are going to try to make this world bend towards the moral arc of what Martin Luther King Jr. talked about. And I want to say that, you know, I feel like there's a lot of support for that, is what I'm saying. And you are a good person, too, probably, if you're listening to this. Most likely, yeah? Yeah, I think so. There's all this good and evil such, and people are like, yeah, well, I understand this. It's not so simple sometimes. And then again, are you going to rape and kill? Yeah. Oh, well, what's the circumstance? My God, man. Was that leading? What's that? Baiting it or something like this. My God. But yeah, I think it really does come down to something that's it's kind of elementary. I mean, there are needs for contracts and laws to a degree. You know, you need bodyguards at certain venues or some drunken people will get out of hand or whatever. And until we can get it down to a picture-perfect world where, you know, commerce isn't intermingled with anything, I think that we have to do the best we can with what we got. I think we need to support financially the things that matter and that are going to, you know, like it's almost like we counted on government before for morality and the laws. Well, now we can just, you know, take commerce and, you know, utilize it to perpetuate the greatest spirituality and art. And it's the opposite of pipe dream. It's called money is real and we can use it and appeal to the and have the strongest ideas that cause the title changes. It's not a conspiracy society. These people who get rich and get hip-hop deals, I mean, sometimes there is nasty stuff going on with couches and blood and such. And I mean, like, yeah, that I'm sure that happens at times. And other times, people do just get famous and big in the world and have huge cultural impacts. And other times, it seems like they were karmically meant to do that. And that's something I'm stepping into more with my own life, that I'm a September 22nd birth. The 22s are very interesting. And I found out through Michael Tessarian that's a master number that is meant to bring things to change on this world. And I feel like it's no accident that I suddenly have this whole thing where I think I was starting to try to say that I met Alex Gray back at Cosm. I was getting back around to something back there, Stinkfist, and the whole talk about seeing him. And the concert began during my Leo moon of 28 degrees, yada yada, 2017, Great American Eclipse, yada yada, holy crap, all this stuff, meeting Alex Gray in 2017, thank you, Mark, I love you, and your girlfriend's really cool, too, you guys are great people, introduced me to Alex, and Alex calls and says, oh, you're Imagination, aren't you? I was just like having a holy crap, that just happened, the LSD is just kicking in, holy crap, this is an amazing day, yay, and getting to tour around Cosm that day at the members barbecue, and August 2017 was such a nice experience, and Allison was so cool telling us about her old ways of doing art, and she's like, I used to throw up right here, and I'm like, you are my favorite people. You are my kind of people. She reminds me of a dear friend of mine, actually, and this was a Jewish friend of mine who will remain anonymous, and it's just, she's an amazing part of my story, and you know, I really got to get in touch with her. Maybe for Hanukkah, I'll give us both a gift of reigniting our communication. I really love this woman. She's a very dear friend. I really hope that she's doing well. I should check in on her. Kind of feel bad that I haven't now. All right, anyways. Enough of that. You're still on air, my friend. You know. Let them feel like maybe they should be getting in touch with someone they care about. You know, this is good. This could be good. So that being said, and then I identify as other things, too. And Christian is a thing I do identify as. It's real, in fact. It's strange. That's not to say that I'm hook, line, and sinker. But, you know, I do defend Christianity to a degree. maybe it's a hill to die on, even. I don't know yet, ultimately. but, frankly, I think that what I'm getting around to it, the 22 thing. I'm starting to remember, I think, that I came here to write this really beautiful story about a boy who was born and went through a lot of freaking interesting adversities, I must add, or may add, or did add, and who was, through those signalings, remembered that he was here to write a metaphysical book that changed the consciousness on the planet, that was hidden in a rock album that was already hidden itself. And this boy chose to come to this reality, born on a day that was born for the same day that two famous characters in his culture at the time, of course, they were other legendary holy books in a way. They were the Lord of the Rings. Frodo and Bilbo were born on September 22nd. So this boy came to this planet called Earth. It was a dimensional Gaian Terra, Malkuthian dimension. He incarnated and was like, what up, holy book in a rock album, hidden rock album, it's so cool. I really kind of think that's actually why I'm here, like, legit. Hey, I made the six of discs go an hour. Cool. We had a busy day, went to the Fox today, walked some doggos, went to the Fox, and I got JJ gifted me the book The Little Prince. So I will be reading that by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. It's got the moon and Saturn on the cover and some stars. I'm very grateful. Little Prince, she's such a wonderful woman. My girlfriend, I mean. You know what I mean. She's awesome. So, anywho, very thoughtful gift. And then we're going to go over and check out that, try to make some No Agenda Magic happen later, too. So, got a lot going on. So, yeah, it's about an hour. About an hour at the music. And now I can add this as the outro. This is the outro. I love this. I don't have to record any more files. Nice. Your donations are, of course, going to be used cumulatively as I collect them to improve the show in a fell swoop when I get a new computer. I am a Macintosh kind of guy. I do not use PC. I will not use PC. My God, no one's allowed to quote that, what I just did. If you take like a vault. I do not. Anyways. So, yeah, but I really just fucking love Macintoshes so much. I love this, you know. I would do Linux if I understood it, to be honest with you. And I think that's down the line. I want to do a lot of things, but I'm not going to talk about it now. It's for another time. Man, I feel like I kind of started to breach all the topics I wanted to talk about today, and I started to get into some of that. And I hope you have a better understanding of some of the ideas and where I started off and drifted off. I hope you can understand that that's being created on the astral level, building things and coming back to them all the time. But yeah, turning from that part that could drag us down to the part that could lead us up. As I do as I do this outro here, I'll add that when I met Alex Gray, this is why I wanted to add this part. So it all ties back around to all of these events, New York, Boston, Alex Gray, and Wappingers Falls, and even going out to L.A., and all this other stuff with my current understanding of the world and where I have been led to and all of these synchronicities. It's very interesting that when I was at COSM, I mentioned that the acid had begun to work, and Allison was leading us around. I told you, she told us, like, this is where, you know, we used to do this work, and she was totally, like, hip about how real they were, and I love them. They did all this in Boston, just amazing people. James Keenan, Maynard James Keenan, worked at a pet store in Boston, and in Massachusetts, there's a Maynard, Massachusetts, with a James Keenan field. So there's stuff going on, and the 22 birthday, and now I'm like, whoa, okay, so I'm at COSM. It's the members barbecue in 2017, and some boy there, God bless him, some guy. The acid's starting to cool down a little bit. We roamed COSM. It was amazing. Saw these extra places like they were going to build over. Allison was showing this hill. It's beautiful. They were showing us all the interior of what Entheon's going to look like when it opens. Back then, it was just like bare drywall and such, and eventually the night comes back around, and we're all in the Entheon, and it's a big open space. We're all holding hands together in this huge group, and we're shouting out these intentions in Entheon back in this day. So that's when the acid peaked, when I shouted out my intention for us to be brave enough to face whatever is coming. And I felt kind of like I was this weird, like, super masculine force there, because, like, everyone's, like, talking about very spiritual things and, like, the same stuff you hear. And, like, without being Mark Passio, who's another one of my very dear, I would say, mentors, the way he's taught me, like, so much, that without being as, because it goes without saying, Mark's, like, an archetypically gruff kind of dude. He's just, like, a no bullshit, real, like, we need, like, Mark's a guy we need. Like, I love him. And, you know, I don't even, I guess it really doesn't matter how he would feel about me. It really doesn't. There's a few people like Freighter Xavier out there. These are people we need. Like, we need people like them. And I fucking love them. Both of them. Fucking love them. Pardon my language. Gosh, guys, I really need to work on that. I really do. So anyways, we're at the end of the day now. The LSD is kind of cooling down. And I've only taken acid a few times in my life, and every single time it has been revelatory. At the end of this night, we're there, and we're all chilling in the, you know, I'm in the back seats, kind of, causing a lot of people filled in there, in the front stage area, and you know how it goes there. And back near some of the beautiful statues Alex has there. And this guy is like, oh, man, you know, I'm kind of like, he's like, oh, man, I'm kind of like afraid that, like, he's like, oh man, I'm kind of like afraid of like what's going to happen with this, that, the other thing. And I'm just like, okay, whoa, my vibes. No, that's not the message. Fuck that. So I stood up, raised my hand. It was my turn. Allison calls on me. And like, I'm pretty sure that like, I had my guitar bag on all day. Like, it's like, kind of like, oh, it's that guy. And I said, so Alex and Allison are, you know, politely waiting for me to speak and listening, and everyone's listening. My LSD is kind of like, it's like good. It's like, oh yeah, this is nice. It was nice and pillowy and creamy and smooth and cottony. It was nice coming down, but still rocking. And so I said, you will come to find that we are all one mind, capable of all imagined and all conceivable. And if you ever say inconceivable, that's because you don't know what you're talking about, because it's all conceivable. I just had to add that in there while I'm on my thing here. So that was beautiful. And Allison's like, dude, my people are the hippies too. I got to say, I love the stoners. I love the stoners. No bones about it, or all bones. We love bones. Just love stoners. God, it's part of my DNA. Tell me about the sexuality that is in your DNA. So tell me about the cannabis, the Mary Jane that is in your DNA. Tell me about the Mary Jane that is in your DNA. Yeah, man, I will. Lemon ice right now, I think. About to move to Scott's OG. But the point is that like the Allison like say, yeah, man, she like did this like it was totally hippie. She's like, and Alex like, yeah, you know, like the whole room just glowed. I have several experiences in where the subtle energies that I've experienced around me, and this was one of them, where it was just magnificent. Just the whole room just uproariously loving. It was wonderful. And it was that consciousness. Like, the room was painted black, and then I was like, gold! Dun, 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 yeah, we're gonna win, no matter what! Yeah! And then everyone's like, yeah, it's cool. And the world was saved, and then Jesus played a solo, and shooting stars, amen. So that was the Six of Discs. Remember, as I said, you can always donate to the show. The Six of Swords, Six of Wands, Six of Cups, Six of Discs. Just specify in the note. If you don't specify, the donation will credit the show. And if you do specify that you wanted to credit another show, like, oh, I loved the first show with Brother Joe DeZerman so much that I want this credit, and that show will get like your donation credits. So anyways, like, the show's got experience points too, is what I'm trying to express to you, and you do too. The value for value, every time you donate, you get points based on, you know, $1 one point, and you get points based on your ability to do certain things in the game. We're still fleshing out the game, of course, but obviously you'll have the ability to trade your points for items in the game, for weapons, and that's just the barest bones of it. But anyways, come one, come all, come as you are. And thank you again for listening to the Six of Discs. This has been episode 3. And again, you're really great for listening. So, yeah. Trying to think of anything I want to do to bring it back down to earth as we're ending. But yeah, I just want to say that experience with Alex Gray and Allison Gray at COSM that day, it really brings home to me this notion of that upward spiral. I keep looking at the Fear Inoculum CD spread open, and I'm just like, that's me on the right with my arms up and my consciousness golden flying upwards. And that's other people with me that are coming along as equals on the way. And I really hope we can do this together, guys. Like, people who I get along with are from all different walks of life, like all different walks of life and like you know, echelons. Ultimately, I believe in capitalism. If you have a lot of money, be generous with it. But I do believe that ultimately, you know, capitalism, socialism, otherwise, it's not what I'm really trying to say. What I'm trying to say ultimately is that this is a ongoing manifestatory experience that we are collectively part of together, and we are each responsible, if you can understand what I'm saying and appreciate what I'm saying and have the emotional capacity and personal fortitude, that we're the adults. We gotta shape this world. God made us, and we gotta make the world. You know, we're tending the garden. And, you know, maybe we can build that Tower of Babel back up to heaven. You know what I mean? Or something to that effect. I'm just asking you to try to work with, you know, no matter if you agree or disagree. And if you disagree, I am so Libran to being open. As long as you're respectful, I love conversation. And while I do have a lot of Leo in my moon, I'm open to irrefutable evidence. So anyways, yeah, trust and verify. You guys are great for listening to this one. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up now. But yeah, thank you again for listening to the Six of Discs. And again, we're all responsible, I think. And do the best you can. Make that dream come true. You're responsible for living your best, or at least you have the opportunity to. So take it. From the bottom of my heart, I love you all. Even those of you who can't receive it. We're all created, one and all. And I love you. I love you. I do. When I'm clear, when I'm rational, when I'm kind, when I'm being who I want to be, I love you all. I love you. I love you.